Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Now, like I said, suffering's inescapable. You're going to suffer whether you're a Christian or not. But you also are going to suffer as a Christian. But of course, suffering as a Christian has a purpose. There's a reason for the suffering, and because there's a reason for it, there are benefits from it, and there are eternal benefits from it as well.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, in a message titled, Suffering and Glory. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
All right, well, we are picking up once again in the 8th chapter of Romans. And I noticed that even though we read over and, you know, mentioned the 18th verse, we never really zeroed in on it. We sort of, you know, came up to it in one study and then just sort of mentioned it and then moved on. And then we picked up in another study and sort of got beyond it. And so I thought it was important that we go back and take a close look at verse 18. So picking up in verse 16, Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So Paul says, since we are children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then he adds, if we suffer with him, we will also be glorified together. Now, suffering, generally speaking, is just a part of life. Everybody suffers. There's no one in the world that is exempt from suffering. We suffer because we live in a fallen world. We suffer because we sin and reap the consequences of our disobedience. We suffer because of the evil actions of others. So suffering is inescapable. There's no one that's ever going to escape suffering to some degree or another. But for the Christian, there's a whole other element to suffering. And for the Christian, suffering isn't merely part of what happens because we live in a fallen world, or at times we're disobedient, or because of the evil actions of other people. Suffering, believe it or not, is something that God appoints us to as his people. And this is one of those doctrines, I guess you might refer to it as a doctrine of suffering. It's one of those teachings in the Bible that we're not all that fond of, but it definitely is a reality. The scriptures teach that we are appointed as Christians to suffering. And this suffering relates to our union with Christ. It relates to our growth into his image. And it ultimately relates to our preparation for eternity. This is why the New Testament writers encourage us over and over again, not only to expect to suffer, but even to embrace suffering. You know, when you read the New Testament, I mean, you know, it's filled with examples of people who are suffering, even the followers of Jesus. And it's filled with references to suffering, affliction. It's filled with exhortation on how to face and deal with suffering and affliction. Somebody put it this way: the promise of the Old Testament was prosperity. The promise of the New Testament is adversity. And there's really quite a bit of truth to that. But let me give you some examples of what we're told by the New Testament writers. Paul to Timothy, listen to what he said. He said, "Share with me, Timothy, in suffering for the gospel." That's Paul's invitation to Timothy. Timothy, remember, Timothy was a young pastor. Timothy was Paul's assistant, if you will. And Paul's, you know, training him for ministry. He's discipling him in ministry. And this is a real part of the ministry. Timothy, share with me in suffering for the gospel. And then he said in that second epistle to Timothy, he said, "All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." To the Philippians, Paul wrote this. He said, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Notice that. It's been granted to you. It's been granted to you as a privilege, really, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. To the Thessalonians, Paul said that none of you should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. So you see, these aren't just things that happen incidentally because we live in a fallen world. Paul says we are actually appointed to suffering. And again to the Thessalonians, he said, "We ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer." So all throughout Paul's letters, there are these the references to the fact that Christians will suffer. But Paul's not the only one who said it. James said, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And the Apostle Peter wrote, and he spoke of those who had been grieved by various trials. He referred to the fiery trial, which is to try you. And he said, "Don't think it strange." So you see, this isn't something that we should find strange, that we suffer, that we go through trials. It's part of our calling as God's people. It's part of the whole picture of what it is to be a Christian and of what God is doing in us. Now, like I said, suffering's inescapable. You're going to suffer whether you're a Christian or not. But you also are going to suffer as a Christian. But of course, suffering as a Christian has a purpose. There's a reason for the suffering, and because there's a reason for it, there are benefits from it, and there are eternal benefits from it as well. Suffering in the world, just because of the fallen state of the world, or because of sinful behavior, or because of the evil actions of others, there's not necessarily a purpose in that. But for us as God's people, there is a purpose in suffering. So right there, we can take encouragement knowing that the sufferings that we're appointed to, there's a reason for them. And that through them, God is doing something in our lives. He's doing something significant. He's doing something meaningful.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, Now, let's continue with today's message.
Now, let's look at, first of all, various forms of suffering referred to in the context of suffering as a Christian. So here the word suffering is just used in a general sense, but here's the point. What is included under this general heading of suffering? When the Bible says that we're going to suffer as God's people, that we're appointed to these afflictions, that we suffer for the kingdom of God, specifically, what does that look like? Well, first of all, the New Testament speaks extensively on suffering in the sense of persecution. Persecution. Now, persecution is suffering at the hands of those hostile to Christ, specifically because of our faith in Him. So that's what it is to be persecuted. It's to suffer at the hands of those who are hostile to Christ. And their motive for causing affliction to us is their enmity toward Christ. So they're striking out at us, and in doing so, they're expressing their hostility toward Christ. Now, the early Christians suffered greatly in this sense. There was a tremendous amount of persecution in the early days of the history of the Christian church, going all the way up to for about 300 years. There was pretty intense persecution. And that began to subside about 325, and there were sporadic incidents that would break out after that in the Roman world. But for about 300 years, there was intense persecution, and it began in the apostolic period. It began during the time when the gospel first started to go forth, and the New Testament writers wrote quite a bit about suffering persecution. Let me quote to you from Paul in both 1 and 2 Corinthians, and I'm using the NLT to quote from because I think it just expresses it real clearly. Paul says, "We have been beaten, put in jail, faced angry mobs. We are hunted down. We bless those who curse us. We are patient with those who abuse us. We respond gently when evil things are said about us. Yet we are treated like the world's garbage, like everybody's trash." And then he says about himself specifically, he says, "Five different times the Jews gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." So this is Paul just expressing his experience along with his fellow apostles and servants of the Lord, and then, you know, zeroing in specifically on some of his own afflictions there. In the epistle to the Hebrews, at the end of the epistle there, we read this, "Remember how you kept right on with the Lord, even though it meant terrible suffering." The author is addressing these Hebrew Christians. He says, "Sometimes you were laughed at and beaten, and sometimes you watched and sympathized with others suffering the same things. You suffered with those thrown into jail, and you were actually joyful when all you owned was taken from you." So you get an idea of the kind of suffering that they were going through. They were being mocked and ridiculed, but they were also being physically abused. They were being beaten. They were being thrown into prison. Their goods were being confiscated. Now, this didn't end with the Christianizing of the Roman Empire. Persecution of Christians has continued on down to this very day. And of course, there are certain places in the world tonight where Christians are undergoing intense persecution, where Christians are suffering all of these kinds of things. They're suffering ridicule, they're suffering beatings, they're suffering imprisonments, they're suffering confiscation, discrimination, and in some cases, they're even facing execution. So persecution is a part of suffering. But then there's also what you might call hardships. Hardships would fall under the category of suffering. And hardships are different than persecution, but the source is the same. Hardships are difficulties due to Satan's opposition to Christ and Christians. So as we live in the world as Christians and as we seek to please the Lord, we're going to face hardship because there is satanic opposition to us living for God and serving God. And so again, Paul writes about hardships. He says, we patiently endure troubles, hardships, and calamities of every kind. And then he talks about his own experience. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled many weary miles. I have faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be Christians but are not. I have lived with weariness and pain and sleepless nights. Often I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. Often I have shivered with cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Those are hardships. And those hardships were all connected to Paul's life as a Christian and to his ministry and to his efforts to bring the gospel to as many people as he possibly could. So these are the kinds of sufferings he's talking about. He's talking about the hardships as well. But then sickness would go under this category of suffering. And Paul was a man who was himself familiar with sickness. He wrote again to the Corinthians, speaking of a thorn in his flesh. You remember him referring to that in the 12th chapter. And he said that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him, but he referred to it as an infirmity or a weakness. And so it seems, although he doesn't specify what the affliction was, it seems almost certain that it was some sort of physical ailment that Paul was dealing with. And he, of course, put this under the category of suffering. And so as Christians, we sometimes will suffer with sickness. And we're not being punished because we're sick. It's not a sign of God's disapproval. It's something that God has allowed to come into our lives for, again, those purposes that he has in working out his eternal plan and purpose for our lives. So sickness under the category of suffering. And then I would also include a sorrow and emotional affliction. These are all different forms of suffering. And these are the things that Paul says that we have been appointed to. Now, I said there's purpose in suffering. What is the purpose? Or what are the purposes? And generally speaking, there are 3. Number one, the number one purpose of suffering is closer communion with Christ. Suffering has a way of drawing us closer to the Lord. Of course, when we're suffering, we're looking for relief. When we're suffering, we're looking for help. When we're suffering, we're looking for some sort of comfort or some sort of answer to what we're going through. So naturally, we go to the Lord for that. And so it has that effect of deepening our communion with Christ. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, when he spoke there in the 3rd chapter of his desire to know the Lord, you remember he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. So Paul's expressed desire is to know Christ. He wants to know Christ in a deeper, fuller way. He realizes that one of the ways through which that's going to happen is through suffering. So he says that I might be conformed to the image of his death. He says that I might know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Now, That shows you the kind of depth that Paul had. Now, I know that it's inevitable that we'll suffer, and thank God that through it we'll get to know the Lord better. But quite honestly, I don't really pray for suffering. I want to get to know the Lord better, but Lord, can we do it a different way? But Paul wasn't hindered by that. Paul expresses there that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul understood that the ultimate thing was knowing Christ. And if it's going to take me suffering to get to know him better, then Lord, I'll suffer. Bring the suffering. Now, we don't have to ask for it. It will come. It will come. Because it's part of the way God is working to bring us closer to the Lord. So know this, when you desire to get closer to the Lord, when you pray for a deeper relationship with him, know that there's going to be an element of suffering that's going to be part of the answer to that prayer. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. It's just the reality. But again, it's a good thing because it forces me to the Lord. I can think of so many times in my life where in times of deep suffering, I've just had no alternative really but to cling to Jesus. And it's during those times that the Lord just seems to sort of strip everything else away, and you really become, you know, sort of spiritually lean and in shape. There's no flabbiness because you're not carrying around all of this excess baggage. It's just, you're just right there with the Lord, and it sharpens you and it fine-tunes you. And God allows those things to come our way. So there is the closer communion with Christ, and then secondly, there is more conformity to the image of Christ. It's through suffering that God is making us more like Jesus. Listen to what Peter said. He said, "But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us," listen, "leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So it's in suffering that we have an opportunity to be made more like Christ as we follow the example of Jesus in suffering. Now, of course, when we suffer, we're faced with temptation. And the temptation is to become bitter. The temptation is to be resentful. The temptation is to curse God rather than bless God. But as we make the right decision, and as we accept, as Job would say, as we accept from the hand of the Lord both good and evil, as we just simply say, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want to do through this, I'm submitted to that," that's when we open ourselves up to a greater conformity to the image of Christ, because that is, of course, what Jesus did.
Here's a few words from Pastor Brian and his wife, Cheryl, about this month's Back to Basics resource.
So, Cheryl, for this month, we are going to offer a book that you wrote. And this book is called When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. And the subtitle is Discovering the Truth About Who You Are in God's Eyes. Tell us real quickly about this book.
Well, you know, I found that women hear lies constantly. And some of those lies we actually believe. And we've allowed those lies to intimidate, to form us, and to form how we feel and about ourselves and how we relate to others. And God wants to set us free from those lies, that we might hear from him the truth, that he loves us, that he died for us, that he is for us, that he's going to use us for glory. And when we believe the truth and hear the truth, we're set free to love each other and to live a really exciting life through Jesus Christ.
So, all right, this is our book offer for the month. So, especially ladies, you want to check this out, and it's going to be a blessing.
Thank you, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for stopping by the studios and sharing about this month's resource. You can order Cheryl's book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of the book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you Cheryl's book, When a Woman Lets Go of the Lies. We appreciate your generous support to this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.